Please take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Ruth and the first chapter in the book of Ruth. As you turn there, we obviously do not have time to preach through the entire book, although I would really like to. There are certainly many wonderful truths contained in this short book. But I want us to spend a little bit of time in the first chapter this morning. And so we're going to begin reading in verse number 1, Ruth chapter number 1, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons. And they took them wives of the woman of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they be grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. I want to draw your attention, if you would, to verse number 18, where the Bible tells us here that Naomi saw that she, that is Ruth, notice, was steadfastly minded. I want to preach this morning on this subject. She was steadfastly minded. Now, the book of Ruth, as I mentioned, is a wonderful record of God's grace and redemption. We know in our study of Scripture that Ruth is found in the lineage of Christ, which is significant, knowing that Ruth was a Moabite by birth. If you read the end of the book of Ruth, in Ruth chapter number 4, notice in verse number 13 how the book ends. And I think this is where we're going to make the connection in this morning's message. Ruth chapter 4, verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 10 sons, hath borne him. Now I want you to think about that statement, the saying that Ruth was better to Naomi than 10 sons. That's a significant statement. Based upon the historical idea and view of men and women during those days. And notice verse number 16, And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, There is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So Ruth, by the end of the story, would be the mother of Obed, who would be the father of Jesse, who in turn would be the father of David. Now, we know how this book ends, and it is certainly a wonderful ending in comparison to the start of the book. If you look at the beginning of the book, we see the difficult times in the lives of these women. We are amazed at how the account turns out to be a great blessing for both Naomi and Ruth. We certainly recognize the grace of God in his dealing with Naomi and Ruth, but I would like to focus for a few moments on the decision that was made by Ruth in particular. Ruth is coming in the first chapter to a crossroads. It is a moment in which she must make a decision that will greatly impact her future. I believe we can bring this study into perspective and encourage all the ladies, and especially the mothers, on this special day that we call Mother's Day, based upon the decision that Ruth made in the first chapter. We know what it ends. She's going to be in the line of Christ. She's going to be the mother of Obed, the grandmother of Jesse, and the great-grandmother of David, the king of Israel. But how did that come about? The blessing that we read of in the last chapter of Ruth is rooted in the decision that was made in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. So I want to consider for just a few moments the importance of the decisions that are made, particularly the decision that Ruth made, but also I want to speak a little bit on the decision that every woman must make, but particularly every mother. I think that often we speak of motherhood, generally speaking, and being grateful for the life that is given to us because of our mothers, but I think that we need to particularly understand the great decisions that must be made for any godly mother. And I want to right off the bat, before we go into our study, to help us understand that a mother and a woman who chooses to walk and to be a godly woman is a very difficult decision. It's not easy. It's a very difficult one. And I want us to spend looking at that this morning, but also keeping in mind the great dividends. We're not going to look quite a bit at that, but we know the dividends for Ruth. But I want us to pay attention in the first chapter at the magnitude of the decision that she made. Now I want us to consider, first of all, we're going to pay close attention to verse 6, from verse 6 of the first chapter down to verse number 18, and to look here at a timeline on how things happen. Now I want you to notice, first of all, the proposal. Now, when we come to verse number 6, we understand that in the opening verses of the book, we learn that the account took place during the period of the judges. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Judges, you find that Israel went back and forth in obedience to God and then back into rebellion against God, and it was kind of back and forth throughout the whole entire book. So this took place during the period of the judges. We also know in the opening verses that this took place during a famine, when Elimelech and his wife Naomi and their two sons moved to Moab. It was because of the famine. And the famine was a direct result of the judgment of God upon the people of Israel for their disobedience and their rebellion against God. So after now, when Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons went to Moab, we know that the two sons find each one a wife. The one finds Orpah and the other finds Ruth. And we know that during the process of time, they stayed there for 10 years. But in the process of time, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, dies. We also see that Mahlon dies and Chilion died, leaving Naomi a widow and Orpah and Ruth also widows. And so as we open this book, we understand that this is a difficult time in the lives of these women. And we find that the Naomi is going to make a proposal to go back to the land of Judah. Now, I want you to notice several things about this proposal. First of all, we notice in our text the prompting of this proposal. What is it that prompted Naomi to make this decision to take both Orpah and Ruth with her back to the land of Judah? Well, there's the first thing we see is we're going to look at two things at what prompted the proposal. First of all, we're going to look at the communication of a message. In verse number 6, the Bible tells us, "And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." Notice, "for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." So what prompted Naomi to go back to the land of Judah was because while she was in Moab with her two daughters-in-law, she heard a message of what had taken place in Judah. You see, the news that the Lord had given bread to his people traveled all the way to Moab. It is conceivable that someone had been proclaiming this wonderful message of God's miraculous provision. I want you to think that in the context here, we know that specifically the life of Elimelech and Naomi is brought to light because of the lineage of Christ. And so we understand that it is also quite plausible that a great number of Israelites moved to Moab or moved to other countries. And so certainly we understand that a messenger would have been sent to Moab to go and to reach those Israelites that were there in Moab and to let them know that God had visited his people in the land of Judah. And so we think about the proclaiming of this message. The message that was communicated was heard by Naomi. They had left because of the famine, and now they would be returning knowing that they were missing God's provision in the midst of a famine. So not only do we see the communication of a message, but also we consider the contents of the message. What was the message? Well, the Bible tells us that she heard how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. The message really is threefold. First of all, we see the Lord of the message. The Bible tells us here how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. You see, the message was about what the Lord had done for his people. The message was not about the bread as much as it was about the grace of God towards his people. Because again, the famine was still going on. But the message is that God had visited his people in giving them bread in the midst of a famine. So the contents of the message emphasize the Lord of the message. You see, the famine in the land had been the result of sin. And now God's provision is clearly a demonstration of the grace of God. And so in this message, we see the Lord of the message, but we also see the location of the message. The Bible tells us that the Lord had visited his people. You see, the provision was particularly in the land of Judah and not in Moab. Now, I believe that's significant because it's not like the Lord would be providing for his people outside of the land of Judah. God visited his people in the land of Judah. You see, the word visited here is used throughout God's word in reference to either God's judgment or to God's blessing. For example, in Job 35:15, the Bible tells us, He hath visited in His anger. And so it speaks of God's wrath, God's anger visiting His people. But also here in our particular text, we understand that this visitation from God was a pouring out of a blessing upon God's people in the land of Judah. So we find the Lord of the message, the location of the message, but thirdly, the liberality of the message. The Bible tells us here how that the Lord had visited His people, notice the next expression, in giving them bread. Now notice the word giving. You see, the bread was declared to be a gift from God. You see, we understand a gift means that it's free. This statement demonstrates the grace of God towards a people who had been so long rebellious against God during this time when the judges ruled. And so when God here, when we see that God had visited His people in giving them bread, we understand that this is none other than the grace of God. I think that there's certainly a picture for us as to the message that we proclaim. The message we proclaim is a message about the Lord. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And we understand that this message from the Lord is also found in a specific way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And we also understand that the message is one of liberality, that whosoever will may come. And so as we see here, I want us to, as we begin the message, what prompted this proposal from Naomi to go back to the land of Judah was this. A word from the Lord. God was doing something in Israel, and someone had been proclaiming that message from God. That's what prompted Naomi, along with her two daughters-in-law, to return to the land of Judah. So we see the prompting of the proposal, but secondly, we see the partnering in the proposal. In verse number 7, the Bible says, as she hears what God is doing in the land of Judah, the Bible says in verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. Now Naomi, the Bible says here, went forth out of the place. She had to separate herself from the place her family had intended to gain from. You see, what Elimelech and Naomi and the two sons were looking for was provision. They were seeking to go to Moab to gain what they thought they had lost in Judah, in the land of Judah, because of God's judgment upon His people. And now they find themselves in Moab, and they found themselves with Elimelech dead and her two sons dead, and these women are left alone, and they hear this great message, and now a decision has to be made, a proposal to those two daughters-in-law to separate from the land of Moab and to return, and to basically return from what they had intended to gain from. They have to forsake what they desired to go back based upon the word of the Lord. You see, this journey and dwelling in Moab had proved to be a severe failure and a heartbreak. But I think this is a wonderful picture, or perhaps not a wonderful picture, but a sad picture of often people who choose to go to the world, who choose to go to Moab to find provision and to find gain, and all they find is only failure and heartache. But at the word of the Lord, they are prompted to return. You know, Jesus said something in that fashion. He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, and it is repeated on several occasions during the gospel records, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for My sake, the same shall save it." You see, in their attempt to save themselves, this family suffered loss. But we know that with this attempt to return, they would receive tremendous blessing from God. So Naomi went and took her two daughters-in-law with her, the one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. The wonderful account of the book of Ruth was made possible because the decision Ruth made in the very first chapter of this book. We find Naomi bringing Ruth and Orpah along with her on this journey. And as they are on the journey, Naomi here is going to prove these two women. Naomi is going to lay things out for both Orpah and Ruth and to see if they're going to make a willing decision to go back to Moab and to stay with their families or to accompany her to the land of Judah. And by the way, that is a decision that every woman must make. Are we going to stay in the world or are we going to walk after God? We heard what the Lord is doing in the land of Judah. We know what God is doing. And so here Naomi on this journey, as she is prompted to return to the land, as she is partnering with her two daughters-in-law, we come to the next point. Not only do we see the proposal, but we also see, secondly, the proving. Naomi is going to lay out a case before Ruth and Orpah and give them, basically lay out a test for them to see if they're going to accompany her back to the land of Judah. They are going to have to make a decision in that very moment to either walk after God or to go back to the ways of the world. And I believe that there is a challenge for all women in this message. And by the way, this message also applies to men because we also must make decision. But I want you to think of the great blessing that Ruth will enjoy as a Moabite woman because of the decision that she made to be in the lineage of Christ, to be the grandmother of the great grandmother of David the king. And the great blessing that we see in retrospect is only understood in light of the decision that's going to be made by her in chapter 1. And so we find the proving. In the beginning we find that Orpah and Ruth, as we read from verse 8 down to verse 16, we find that Orpah and Ruth begin their journey back to Judah with Naomi. Both of them made that decision. It's almost, sometimes if we're not careful, we have this idea that when Naomi went to the land of Judah, that Orpah decided to stay while Ruth decided to go with her. But that's not the case. Both Orpah and Ruth both started the journey with her. On their journey, now a proving begins. On the road, Naomi now is going to offer those two daughters-in-law an opportunity to return to Moab or to continue with her on the road to Judah. And so there is going to be a proving. Now, we often find God proving His people. For example, in Genesis 22, verse 1, you remember the great chapter with Isaac when Abraham is asked to offer his son Isaac. Genesis 22, 1 tells us, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." The word tempt simply means to prove Abraham. By the end of the chapter, God tells Abraham, "Now I know." You see, Abraham was proved. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4, when the children are in the wilderness wanderings, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no." God is interested in proving His people, testing His people. In Judges chapter 2, verse 22, we understand here in this very time period that Ruth was alive. The Bible says in Judges 2:22 that through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. God here says that He's going to allow the enemies of Israel to defeat them because He wants them to be tested. He wants them to be proved. In Psalm 26 verse 2, the Bible tells us, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." You see, God will often test His people to see the way they will walk in. We find in our text here, I believe, a test or a proving both for Orpah and Ruth. Now, we know that Orpah eventually is going to return to Moab, but Ruth is going to remain with Naomi to go to Judah, and we know experience a tremendous blessing. But I want us to consider the three tests that are given to both Orpah and Ruth. Number one, we find the support, the test of the support of the world. Notice in verse number 8 and 9, and the Bible says here, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto this people. Again, notice here, this is Naomi is laying out the case that if they go back to Moab, they will have the support of the world. Now notice here, first of all, in their relatives. They said here, Naomi says in verse 8, returned each to her mother's house. Now in those days, daughters generally dwelt with their mothers in their mother's tent, while sons dwelt with their fathers in their father's tents. This is why the mothers of Orpah and Ruth are mentioned and not the fathers. There would be safety among their own families. Such safety Naomi could not guarantee to them going to Judah. First of all, they were Moabite women. And so she simply presents to them this case, kind of this test. She says, look, if you go back home, you will have a dwelling place with your mother, and there's no guarantee that if you follow me to Judah, that you will have the same privilege. You see, there would be safety among their own families. Such safety, again, Naomi could not guarantee for them. These women would be likely more likely to prosper in Moab than they would to prosper in Judah. Now, she lays out the case that they would have the support of the world and their relatives, but also in their record. She says, notice, in verse number 8, the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. You see, Naomi indicated that both Orpah and Ruth had fulfilled their duties as the wives of her sons. They had dealt kindly with their husbands, and she says, and also with me. You see, the effect, Naomi was saying, you have my blessing to go back. You have fulfilled your duty as a wife to my sons and as my daughters-in-law. And so therefore, don't think that I expect anything from you. You are free to go back to Moab. You are free since you have fulfilled your responsibilities towards my sons and towards me. And so she doesn't curse them for going back to the world. She simply encourages that direction. But then there's a third thing. Not only their relatives, their record, but thirdly, their rest. He says in verse 9, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest. Now, the word rest is important to properly understand. This word refers to a marriage from the vantage point of a woman. Now, if you go with me to Ruth chapter 3, we know that because when it is discussed that Ruth would be married to Boaz, notice what Naomi says in chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? You see, Naomi referred to Ruth becoming a husband to Boaz as her finding rest. And so when Naomi mentions here in the very first chapter in verse number 9 that the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband, if you go back to Moab, she's simply saying that you have a greater chance of becoming married if you go back to Moab than you would getting married and going to Judah. So basically, the first appeal to have the support of the world is an appeal to, look, if you go back to the world, you will be prosperous. You will have money with your family. There is nothing that I can say that you haven't fulfilled in your responsibility towards me and towards your husbands. And also, you're more likely to get married. And by the way, in that day, it was a very big deal because a woman basically had no purpose without a marriage. was not able to attain prosperity without a marriage and a husband. In that day, women did not own land and herds and things like that. It was men. And so we find here that if they go back to Moab, they would have the support of the world. You see, Naomi simply pointed to the fact that they would be able to find a husband in their own country of Moab, and thereby have usefulness that would not be guaranteed in Judah. Now, on this first test, a test, if you would, of prosperity, and by the way, here is the challenge for all women who would seek to have the blessing of God at a later time. There has to be a decision that needs to be made. Am I more interested in what the world has to offer, in my physical safety, in my physical prosperity, or am I going to live by faith and follow God's way? That's test number one. And you know, the world philosophy has not really encouraged Christian women. The world's philosophy is, look, you make your own way through life. You choose a career. Forget about a family. Forget about the ways of God. You make your own way through life. And in the world, you will have safety. You will have certain guarantees that the Christian life does not guarantee you. And today's age of social media has painted a lie to many women that if they simply forsake their families, they would have a better life in the world. Forsake the ways of God and you will have safety. That's test number one. By the way, both Orpah and Ruth decided to follow on in that moment after the first test. Notice what the Bible tells us in verse number 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. So both Orpah and Ruth make that decision after test number one to continue on this road to go back to the land of Judah. They are willing right at this point to forsake the safety and the prosperity offered in Moab to go to uncertainty based upon the word that came from them of what God had been doing. So, the support of the world is the first test, but secondly is the struggle for the women. Now, if you would, Naomi says, look, you will be safe in the world, but now she turns the other hand and she says, now if you go to Judah, you're going to struggle. Notice here in verse 11, and Naomi says, so here's test number two, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons. And so here we come to test number two. Naomi told them that the road ahead would be filled with struggles. If you go to the land of Judah, there is great struggle that will be presented. In the first test, they were told that it would be easier for them to go home. Now, the second test, they are told that it will be difficult for them to move ahead. Consider, first of all, their problem. The problem is twofold that Naomi presents. Naomi, first of all, was unfruitful. Naomi says, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Now we know according to tradition in those days, when an elder son, for example, the firstborn son, if the firstborn son was to die, then his wife would be committed to her younger son so that he would continue seed. We see that, by the way, commanded in the book of Numbers to the children of Israel. That was a cultural thing in the Jewish culture, but it was also in many other cultures during that day, that the brother would often take his eldest brother who had passed away for his wife to be his own wife. And so here, Naomi says that first of all, I'm unfruitful. I have no other sons. I can't give you a husband. And so not only was Naomi unfruitful, but she was also unmarried. And so Naomi not only said this is the problem that I don't have a son currently, but secondly, I'm too old to have a husband. So if I was to marry and have another son, you understand, based upon my age, I am too old to have a husband. And so that is the problem ahead. You see, she said, look, it would be easier if you go back home to Moab, but here, if you go with me to Judah, understand, you're probably not going to have a husband. Because I'm unfruitful, and it would be rare for someone from another family to take a woman who was not his brother's wife. But also, I don't have a husband. She was unmarried. So that is their problem. But also, secondly, he deals with their patience. Notice in verse number 13, he says, would ye tarry for them till they were gone? So he says, look, let's say the scenario works out and I get married and I have a son. Would you actually wait for him? Would ye stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So after the second test here, Orpah left Naomi to return to Moab. You see, she says, look, this is going to be a long road ahead. This is a scenario. You see the two-pronged test? It's going to be easier if you go home. If you move forward with me, it's going to be difficult. The Christian life and the decision to follow in the ways of God is not an easy choice, and the road is difficult. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever met a mother and I don't think anybody has that say, hey, child rearing is easy, following the Lord is easy, it's a piece of cake. No, it's difficult. The road ahead will have its problems, and it will take lots of patience. You see, those two things, based upon those two, the problems ahead. In verse 14, the Bible says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Ruth, or Orpah, decided that kiss means that she was leaving. We have that in contrast with Ruth because the Bible says, but Ruth clave unto her. So we understand that Orpah at that moment left. Why? She left because of the difficulties ahead. She left because she thought that the challenge ahead of following the word of the Lord would be too difficult for her. And so at that moment, she gave up. She decided to return home. Why? Because after all, that would be the easiest thing to do. But Ruth passed the second test. Since the Bible tells us that she clave unto Naomi, the word clave here means to follow hard after, to be stuck to stick close. But guess what? There would be a third test. Verse 15, the Bible says, and she said, now Naomi speaks again to Ruth because Orpah has departed, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Now, test number one is you will have the support of the world. It will be easy for you. Test number two is you have some struggles ahead. It will be difficult. But third test is this. It is the solitude of the way. You see, consider those words from Naomi in verse 15. Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. The third test is one of solitude. Ruth had to stand alone with her decision to abide with Naomi and go to the land of Judah. There are not many who have chosen to follow the Lord and live a life that is pleasing to Him. This is often a lonely road for those who make this choice. The world has its crowd and its gods, and to follow the Lord is often a very lonely road to walk on. Go back, look, Orpah left. And you're here, you're going to be by yourself as a Moabite woman to the land of Judah. You really want to be by yourself? You really want to be lonely? You really want to follow the Lord and be alone? The truth is, there's on this special day, there's a lot of things that are said about mothers, and we praise the Lord for that. Mothers should be honored. But I can guarantee you, that the godly mother will not be written about in the newspaper. The godly mother who seeks to walk in the ways of God, who seeks to be, as we saw in Proverbs 31, to be a virtuous woman, the godly mother, she is not praised by the world. Why? Because the world says, choose the easy way, go the way of the world, forget about the struggles and pave your own path. The Christian life is lonely. And often, as many people are aware, when they've made decisions to follow the Lord, often their own family members will forsake them because they've chosen to go after the Lord. And that road is often lonely. That would be test number three. You see, make no mistake, it is always easier to walk back into the world. It is always easier to go back to Moab. In Moab, Ruth would be safe. In Moab, Ruth would not have to face difficulties. And in Moab, Ruth would not be alone. She passed the third test. And I want to consider for just a few moments the words of Ruth herself. Not only do you see the proposal of Naomi to return to Judah, we see the proving of both Orpah and Ruth, but thirdly, I want to consider the prevailing. Notice here the words of Ruth. The Bible says in verse 15, Naomi says, and she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." And here, those next few words are often said at weddings, where a husband and wife will commit their lives to one another. And often those very words are echoed. But here, these are the words of Ruth as she's speaking those to Naomi, and she says this, "For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me." What a strong commitment from Ruth. Ruth made the decision to follow Naomi to the land of Judah. In the following three verses, we find the famous verses often repeated, as I said, at wedding to emphasize a partner's commitment to others. But I want us to see that this commitment was not necessarily a commitment to Naomi, although it was as much as it was a commitment to the Lord. You see, the decision on the part of Ruth is a great challenge to all of us who would seek to live by faith. We sing the song, "Faith is the victory that overcomes the world." You see, the decision that Ruth made was a decision of faith. How do we know that? Because she had no idea what was ahead. As a matter of fact, she did know what was ahead was the struggles that she would face, while knowing that the world would be the easy way. So that statement that she made, that commitment on her part, was a statement of faith. I want us to consider several things about her prevailing, and actually it'll be five things. First of all, we consider her direction. Notice what she says here. The Bible tells us here in verse number 16, as she says to Naomi, "For whither thou goest," notice the next words, "I will go." As we already noted, Naomi had explained the difficulty of the way if Ruth was to follow her. We find that Ruth is willing to go in this direction no matter what the path may bring. Remember that nothing was certain for Ruth at that very moment. We are privileged to know the end of the account, how it all ends, but Ruth did not know it in that present time. Therefore, the decision that she made, the direction of his life, was one of faith. The word, she says, "I will go," demonstrates profound submission to divine direction. Now, I want you to remember that what prompted the departure was what they heard of the Lord. They heard what God was doing. It was prescribed for them. The direction that they must go was back to the land of Judah. Go back to the place of God's blessing. go back to the place in the midst of famine where God provides for His people? It was the hearing that the Lord had visited His people in Judah that prompted the journey back to Judah. Ruth was not blindly following Naomi. She was demonstrating faith in what she had been proclaiming and pointing people to the Lord. And she thought to herself, as she prevails here, after this third test, we see her direction, I will go. That must be the decision of every woman and mother. I will go in the direction the Lord has prescribed. I will not waver. I know that the road ahead is difficult, and I know that the road back is easy. But I believe I will go. In the prevailing, we see her direction, but also, secondly, we see her provision. Notice what she says in verse number 16. She says, "And where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Again, we note the force of those words, "I will lodge." There is no condition that is placed upon Naomi. It did not matter what the lodging looked like. It did not matter what the lodging smelt like, or if there would be any lodging at all. This was a commitment of her faith. She had been willing to forsake the safety of Moab to go back to her mother's house and dwell there for the unknowns of following what the Lord had proclaimed in the land of Judah. And so she says to Naomi, "Where you lodge, I will judge. It matters not what the road ahead will look like. I will lodge with you." No conditions placed. If anybody would follow the Lord, if any mother will follow the Lord and raise her children to go after the Lord, there has to be understanding that there is no condition. "Well, Lord, I'll serve you when you give me a nice house. Lord, I'll serve you when you do this for me. Lord, I'll serve you if you make the way easy. But if it's unknown, then I'm not going to go that direction." That is not a life of faith. So we see her direction, we see her provision, but thirdly, we see her identification. As she says in verse number 16, "Thy people shall be my people." You see, Ruth no longer wanted to identify with the people of Moab, but rather she wanted to be identified with the people of God. She was willing to forsake her family, her culture, her safety, to go and to associate with the people of God in the land of Judah. This is identifying with the people that feared the Lord. If you remember what had happened to Orpah, the Bible tells us, if you remember in verse 14, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods." And here, Naomi, in contrast to that, says, "Your people will be my people. I want to associate with God's people." You see, she was willing to forsake her own family so that she would identify with the people of God. Jesus said something similar, did he not? "If you don't first hate your mother and father and brother and sister, you cannot be my disciple." The word hate has not the idea that we ought to despise those, our loved one. It simply has the idea that our love for the Lord ought to be of much more significance for Him and to follow His ways than it is for our own family members. So we see her identification, but number four, we see her adoration. She says, not only my people shall be, your people shall be my people, but notice in verse number 16, "And thy God, my God." You see, Ruth was making the break at that moment from the idolatry of Moab to the one true God. She was forsaking Baal and following the Almighty God. As she made that decision in that moment after Orpah had gone back to her gods, the things that Moab offered and the things that she previously had worshipped, And Ruth chooses to be the servant and to adore Jehovah God. Your God will be my God. But there's another further note. Not only we see her direction, her provision, her identification, her adoration, but number five, we see her dedication in verse number 17. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. You see, this intent, Ruth intends for this decision to be a permanent one. Even unto her death. This was not a decision based upon her immediate circumstances. Rather, it was a decision based upon her dedication to the Lord and the faith in the Lord. All of those statements. Whither thou wilt go, I will go. I don't know what the day will bring. I don't know exactly everything that's going to happen on the road, but I will go there by faith. Where thou lodgest, I will judge. I don't know what's going to be the Lord's provision in my life, but nevertheless, I will lodge there by faith. Thy people shall be my people. I make a decision to identify with the people of God and forsake the world. And I make a decision for your God to be my God. And she does so with the intent to be faithful to that decision till the day she dies. Notice she doesn't say that, well, you know, if things don't work out in the land of Judah, then maybe I can go back. She makes a commitment before she knows what anything is going to look like in the future. She makes that decision not knowing that she's going to be the great-grandmother of David the king. She makes that decision long before she knows that she would find a kinsman redeemer in the land of Judah by the name of Boaz. She doesn't know any of those things, but by faith, she says, I will go there, I will follow the Lord, I will believe in the Lord, I will trust His provision, I will go in that direction till the day I die. And I will not forsake the Lord. Will you die, I will die. Will you will be buried, I will be buried. Nothing will separate me from that decision that I've made. And so we find her dedication. Can I say that is often a point, a crossroads in all of our lives, particularly in the lives of mothers, as we're emphasizing today, and women who would choose to follow the Lord. You see, Ruth, we could study chapter 2. What happens, what develops chapter 3, and she is going to finally unite with Boaz as they find an even nearer kinsman redeemer, and it then ends up being Boaz because the one chooses not to. And we read through the next few chapters, and there's so many wonderful truths and wonderful promises and wonderful illustrations in this very book. But we would be remiss if we would talk about all those wonderful things while neglecting the decision that shaped it all. You see, all the blessing that Ruth received were not in view when she made that decision. They were the result of her decision. They were the result of her decision. And may the Lord help us, because often in the Christian life, and especially mothers who have a very difficult job, they often are tempted to look at the immediate and the struggles of the present. And they have a difficulty understanding the blessings that God brings through the process of time. And I'm simply encouraging you to continue in the decision that you've made. If you have not made that decision, to make that decision right now. And to make to pass those tests that are presented to you. And I'm not going to lie. As many preachers pretend today to say, hey, if you follow the Lord, your life will be easy. That is not so. As a matter of fact, I can't guarantee you how anything is going to develop in your life. But what I do know is God will tremendously bless you if you make the decision that Ruth made. Why? Because it was not a decision based upon her present circumstances. It was a decision that was based on faith. Her faith in the direction that God had given for her life. Faith in God's provision as she followed God's direction. Her faith in identifying as the people of God and the privilege that it would be. Her faith in believing that she wanted Naomi's God to be her God. And faith to make such a statement to say, and I will not forsake this decision, but I will continually walk by faith till the very day I die. And may the Lord help us. I know we are emphasizing mothers today and women, but may the Lord help this, because that's a commitment that all of us must make. Those truths are timeless truths that challenge all of our hearts. Again, I say to all the mothers who have been faithful, thank you. Thank you. Continue in that road. For the impact that you have is far greater than anyone can put into words. But certainly, when we reach heaven, the Lord will reveal all those things. And the blessing will be much greater, I believe, than we would think in our own minds and hearts. Ruth would die not knowing who her grandchild would be. But I'm sure the blessing would certainly come afterwards as she would hear about David the king. And finally, a little down the road, about the great blessing that the seed of David, the son of David, who would sit on the throne of David, Jesus Christ himself, she would be privileged to be in the lineage of Christ as a woman from Moab. And so may the Lord help us and encourage us this morning in this wonderful truth and the decision that Ruth made.